KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Portland State University, offering a master's degree in urban and regional planning for those who want to shape cities into inclusive, vibrant, and livable communities. More information online at www.planning@portlandstate.org. Up next is Hard Knock Radio after this pledge drive.
Good evening. You are listening to KBOO, and it's our spring membership drive. KBOO is funded by you, our listeners. We are asking you to go to the phone right now and dial 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm and become a member. I'm Cassiani, and I'm a volunteer here at KBOO. I'm also a co-host on a music show, Grateful Dead and Friends, and I am joined with the one and only Yorick.
Am I the only? That's why I feel
oh,
so
that's
lonely.
Right. We're Yorick, Yorick. No, we're all it. We're all
Yorick. We're all Yorick. Yorick, Imick, we're all Ick. This is KBOO Radio. This is our spring membership drive. This is community radio. What does that mean to oppose to all the other radio you listen to? Everyone here is a volunteer. We were once like you. I was at home listening to KBOO, and now I am KBOO. Now I'm on the other side
thing.
Of the radio. I'm inside your radio. We all are. At the booth. Our guy at the booth. What's your name?
My name is Miles.
Miles.
Hi,
how old
Miles.
How old are you, Miles?
I'm 17 at the moment.
17 and doing a great job. How did you start at KBOO? How long have you been doing this?
I haven't been doing this very long at all. This is about not even a year, maybe my fifth month?
Wow.
Well, you're doing a great job.
Did you start with the Youth Collective, or did you just walk in? How did you start here?
No, I started, I really have a passion for, like, engineering and audio programming and kind of learning audio equipment and stuff, and I thought KBOO has a great community for that, so I would come in and try it out, I guess.
Miles, 17,
awesome.
At KBOO, and doing a good job. I started doing this in college. You are doing a really good job. Doing
Thank you.
Better
Keep
job,
it up.
Better job than some of the people who have been here a while. So this is what community is. We just joined. We decided one day, we want to be involved. Now, you may not want to be that involved. You may want to be a supporter. You don't really, maybe you don't even live in Portland. Give us a call, 877-500-5266, and call us now because for the next several minutes, what are we holding over?
Yeah, KBOO member has offered to match the next $250 in donations to KBOO. So please don't let this match stay on the table. We need to meet the match this hour.
Right, and some of it is gone already, so what, up to $250, we still have some of the matching funds left. That means for the next few minutes, you can smash twice the fascism, you can restore twice the humanity for the same amount of money. It's like getting 2 pounds of sugar paying for one and getting, you know, so call us now and double your input, double your, the power of what you're doing. 877-500-5266.
Yeah. Cause more of the causes you care about can thrive because of your support for KBOO. You heard about 238 community groups in 2016 through KBOO's event co-sponsorship program. And that number grows when you consider how many have been featured on the KBOO Evening News. It's pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, here's where we are, right? Over the past 49 years, we've created...
50.
49. Or that's
You're
right. That's old
past.
School. That's right.
You're 51.
51 years. 51 years, yes.
That's right.
We've created something important together.
Yeah.
That's you and I and all of us together. So please give us a call at 877-500-5266 or... visit us online at kboo.fm.
And a lot of us, I knew I loved radio when I was a kid. I knew I wanted to get into radio.
Same here.
Just what Miles had just said, that he felt a draw to this. But some people don't. It's a lark. And we do have volunteers here who aren't on the air and have no aspirations to be on the air. They come and they help out. They clean. They do other things.
Absolutely.
But we're to help the community. Everyone does what they can do. Some people do news shows. I myself do music shows. That's my passion. Although I did start here doing comedy when I first moved to Portland with my younger brother.
Right.
There was a slot open. They used to do the Fire Sign Theater Hour, and they said, you know, we've been doing that for many years. So How about, and so me and my younger brother and his partner, Twilight, we formed Puppet Radio Theater, which you can still go on the archives and listen to if you want to. And we got on right away. And then, because I love music, I started doing music shows. I would like to thank Brian from Northeast Portland. You want to give him a little K-Bell-Boo-Bell for Brian from Northeast Portland?
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. And double the money. So we do have the match going on for another, I think, 6 minutes. And give us a call now. Join now, 877-500-5266. We also judge the programming by, you know, when you call, you support the program you listen to. And we listen to that. Here at Cable, a lot of people call for the news, Democracy Now!, whatever they're calling for, the independent shows. We pay attention. We know when the pledges come in. So
yeah,
call
absolutely.
Now because you're listening now, 877-500-5266.
Yeah, we have 120 more to go in the matches.
All right.
So we're getting there, yeah.
$120 of matches. That's a lot of matches. You could start a whole lot of fires with $120. That's a metaphor. That's an allegory. So give us a call. Start some fires with our matches right now. 877-500-5266. Or go online, kboo.fm, and click on the donate button. We value all contributions, but the best way to support us is with a sustaining membership. That is by the month. We pull it out. That's how I do it. $6.25 a month comes out of my account. I don't even have to think about it. And I got a nice shirt wearing it right now to prove it.
Yeah, exactly. For $6.25 a month, you can get a nice KBOO logo t-shirt and represent your favorite.
And by giving us every month, we can budget. This provides the most stable funding for the station. So the more money that we raise this way means the less interrupted programming for you. In fact, I think we did 3 pledge drives this year or last year. We cut one out. So this is it. It all works hand in hand. If you do a sustaining membership, $6 a month, $5 a month, $20 a month, whatever you can afford, and then we can budget. We know exactly what's coming in, and because we always know exactly what's going out, kind of. So, because we got our bills to pay. 877-500-5266. 2 more minutes of the matching funds. Get those phones ringing.
Yeah. Yeah, for over 50 years.
That's
51
right.
years.
One over 50.
You, our listeners, have kept a unique and vital signal very strong every day and every night with live and local programming. There's a real person, a friend, and a neighbor. And that's within you. And we are here 24 hours a day when you tune into KBOO. Your support is what makes this possible. So please give us a call, 877-500-5266.
Mm-hmm. And we're KBOO Radio, but there's more to it. We're KBOO. It's more than just radio.
Yeah.
It's community building. Like I said, we get supplies from our neighbors here to help us stay in business. We're part of the community. The radio is what you hear. The radio is what you listen to. But there's a whole lot more going on here at KBOO. There's the community events. There's organized things we do, parties, gatherings, protests, all kinds of stuff. We are the community. Your voice is heard. My voice has been heard now for 8 minutes, and so
you and me both. But
and that's what we do here. This is our arm of the community right here, and it's a very important arm, and it's independent. It really truly represents you, especially if you're a member and a volunteer. So come on down. You can either come down 20 Southeast 8th, right off Burnside, and join in person. Call us 877-500-5266 or go online, KBOO.fm, click on the donate button so we can keep great programs like this, like Doug McVeigh you just heard. Keep that going, 877-500-5266.
Yeah, your donation right now is a powerful gesture. It means you're willing to stand up and be counted as the next member in our growing radio community that encourages personal and shared liberation. So please give us a call, 877-500-5266 or online, kboo.fm.
Throughout history, artists have provided reflections of and commentary on society in their time. Now through May 11th, many reflections and commentaries from some of today's artists are part of the exhibit F213, presented by the Northern California Women's Caucus for Art at Arc Gallery, 1246 Folsom Street in San Francisco. Joining us today is photographic artist Sheila Pree Bright, whose short film and book 1960 Now, photographs of civil rights activists and Black Lives Matter protests, are part of the exhibit and will be spotlighted Thursday, May 2nd during the exhibit event called Amplify. Sheila, welcome to Hard Knock Radio.
Well, thank you for having me.
You know, when I first checked out the book 1960 Now, the phrase that kept running through my mind was, the more things change, the more they stay the same. So tell us about how you show the connection between the protests of anti-police terrorism and the fight for human and civil rights of today and the battle for existence that our parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents fought in past years.
Well, you know, at this critical time in our country, 1960 Now, that's the series that I came up with the name. It's like you were saying earlier, nothing has changed. It might morph into a different form and shape, but things still seem the same. And that connection from the 60s movement, and if I could talk about the hip-hop from the Black Power movement, and then you had the hip-hop movement, which was the CNN of the ghetto at that time, right. And they basically was talking about police brutality, NWA, the Ghetto Boys. And from there, you know, you had up until what, to when Trayvon Martin happened,
right?
It was like, wow. And that consistency kept going on and on and on and on. I actually met Mr. Lonnie King, which started the Atlanta Student Movement in Atlanta at the Black colleges there. And he talked about the same things that may look different, but the same as far as Black bodies are concerned and how we're politicized. And he talked about they were young people at that time, and they were sick and tired of being sick and tired. The young visionaries now are sick and tired of being sick and tired. So it's kind of like a perpetual revolution.
Right, right. Well, how did this project begin for you, 1960 Now?
Well, Trayvon Martin. And what happened was I started thinking about young people. And I started thinking about the young people in the civil rights movement who changed the face of the nation. And I wanted to reach out to the young people. They were young, they're elders now,
right,
that were in the movement that we did not know, like Mr. Lonnie King, Hank Thomas, he was a freedom writer. And I wanted to find out who they were, because it wasn't just Martin Luther King, it was them too. So I started a body of work called 1960 Who, where I actually took the elders, the members of the civil rights movement in my studio and did portraits of them, just showing their faces. And I repaste those images here in Atlanta. I believe it was in 2013. Maybe it was 14. I can't remember. And I started repasting their images up in the home of the civil rights movement, which is Atlanta. And then Trayvon Martin happened. And I said, wow, I need to go to the ground to find out what's going on. And I started in Atlanta and went from Atlanta to Baltimore, no, Ferguson to Baltimore to D.C. and back to Atlanta. And I started photographing the young people that were in the movement, too. And so I felt that it was very important to make this theory generational, because I felt that it was important for me to make this body of work intergenerational, because there's so much even myself don't know about the civil rights movement. The only thing that I learned in school was Martin Luther King had a dream, and that's what the young people are really frustrated about. They
right.
have a hashtag called Reclaim Martin Luther King Day, in which they're sick and tired of the commercialization of Martin Luther King. And he was much more than that. He was about resistance, because the fight is not over. It's consistent. And so I felt that the young people needed to know more about their history during the civil rights movement, because you got to understand what was going on back then in order to move forward.
Right, right. You know, you mentioned that you yourself, there's a lot of civil rights history that you didn't know, a lot that that is being regurgitated year after year, you know, generation after generation. But what were some of the discoveries that you made for yourself while you were doing this project?
Well, Lonnie King, who is the co-founder of the Atlanta Student Movement, he was my mentor, because he told me information of how when they decided to take a stand on a black college campus, that they were kicked off.
They were kicked off the campus?
They were kicked off the campus. And what it is the elders back then had a lot of fear, and they didn't want the young people to do that. So they were actually kicked off campus, okay, for that. And I can't remember the name of the church, but the church kind of gave them an area of where they would house their meeting and stuff like that. So I found that very, very interesting, because Atlanta is the home of the civil rights movement. But basically, I guess I'm not from the South. My parents are from the South. If you can imagine about the South and what they had to go through, is how from generations to generation, unconsciously so, blacks are want to protect, okay? And so I thought that was very, very interesting. And also I learned about how he said, Ms. Bright, he says, do you understand that it wasn't a lot of us out there? He says, you're never going to get the masses of the people. It was only a few of us out there. And he says that once we were able to get the signs down, the black and white signs down, we saw we had it made. We were like on cruise control. But he said that's where we failed your generation, because we were spit on, we were murdered, we had acid thrown on us, and we wanted to protect you. So think about the Generation X on up to the millenniums. It's like we don't really have that knowledge unless your family talked to you about it. And I'm a daughter of a soldier, and my father grew up around him and my mother grew up around the Jim Crow era as young people, and how he was born in a little town called Waycross, Georgia, which is 4 hours outside of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And if it wasn't for him being in the service, he got thrown in the service because he had a mouth. He spoke up. He did not care. And so my whole point of saying all of that is that as young people, young people back then and young people by now, is that we really don't understand our history, because a lot of our history was hidden from us. And then part of that, our history that we know of each other has been seen through the white male narrative.
Yeah, and even today, in a lot of schools around the country, you have a history and history books that are being altered, you know, a lot of things that are being removed or erased. So you have generations coming up that will be even further removed from true history. Our guest today on Hard Knock Radio, Sheila Pree Bright. Sheila is a photographic artist and has a short film and book, 1960 Now, which is a part of the exhibit F213. Which is happening over at Art Gallery in San Francisco from now through May 11th. Sheila will be there May 2nd talking about her book and photographs and a short film. Tell us about the film, Sheila.
Well, the short film is my travels starting in Atlanta to Ferguson to Baltimore to D.C. And I felt that it was really important to, you know, a still image is a still image, but I felt that to bring the work alive that I needed a short film. And so I was videotaping also while I was taking still images, and I felt that it was important to bring in Martin Luther King, Stokely Carmichael, James Baldwin, and Nina Simone into that short film.
Mm-hmm.
And they are speaking why I'm photographing the protest images on the ground.
That and the film itself is also called 1960 Now?
Yeah, Art Plus Intersections.
Right.
And it's 8 minutes long. 8 minutes long. Not that long. It's short film.
What were some of the similarities that you see between the civil rights protests and the protests of today? If there are specific similarities, how people are going about protesting, how people are gathering others, what are some of the things that you saw and discovered while doing the project?
I think it's similar in what respect, but then is we're living in a technology world, you know? Like, for example, during the civil rights movement, Mr. Lonnie King would tell me how it wasn't until they had, I believe, and I might be wrong, where they had on national TV where they had Bloody Sunday, and that's when a lot more people came into the movement,
right.
Okay? So they used the television for that, okay? And now we have our smartphones in which anybody could videotape anything and upload it. The young people are organizing through their I'm not saying they're organizing, but they're putting all of that on, you know, Facebook, Instagram. At the time with Facebook and Instagram, you know, about what they, not necessarily what they were doing, about flyers and when they were going to do it. So that is globally so. So people from out of the country is really looking at what's going on with America, you know. So I found that similarity, but the difference that I find as far as the civil rights movement then and now is, even though the young people back then and the young people now are fed up, it's like what was amazing is how the LGBT community is really the force behind it, how they organize, how they use their strategy, and how they have their die-ins to make you feel, it was all about disruption, to make you feel uncomfortable. And that's similar to what they were doing with the sit-ins, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, Sheila, many of the images that we've seen of civil rights protests throughout history are of the males involved. Even though we've learned of the strong female involvement, how has that shifted in today's climate to show the involvement and leadership of women and the LGBTQ community, especially considering that the founders of Black Lives Matter are Black women?
Yeah, the women were very important in the movement and the civil rights. And I'm going back to my mentor, Mr. Lonnie King, but it was the males that were in the forefront. He said without the women, it wouldn't have been the civil rights movement, human rights. And so that's the reason why I went to the ground, because when I saw images in the media, and I'm going to talk about not just about women, about Black bodies, is you see always see the angry man, okay? And so if you look at my images, even though they're protest images, I try to show you a different side of it. You may, the image that's in the show is with Janelle Monae, and I photographed her. I'm catching these moments. I'm not waiting to just click on my camera, on the shutter of my camera. I'm waiting for a moment of what I want you to see. And Janelle Monae has her eyes closed. And then the mother that's standing beside her, she's crying. So it's not, it's just not that I want you to see, I want you to feel. And that's how I photograph the images. And my images, to me, since I'm more of taking portraits, those are portraits of protest to me.
Sheila, let's talk about your background as a photographic artist. What led you to using your lens to reflect society in the way that you are?
Like I said, I'm a daughter of a soldier, and my formative years was living in Germany up until the time about 7 years old. And I'm really reflecting back to that because I was very shy, very introverted, read a lot of books, and really wouldn't talk to people. And when I went to college, it was the same way. But my last year in college, I took a photography course. And I found that that was my way to speak of what I saw in the world. And so I had, like, when I graduated, I didn't go and majored in photography. I left with one camera. I had one camera, one lens, and part of old school where you had to film.
Right.
Okay? And I went to Atlanta, and that's how I started my career. My first show was in Atlanta, and it was hip-hop. I was around the part in the 90s where they had the gangster rap and all of that diversity with NWA and conscious rappers too, which they didn't get a lot of play with that. But that was my first show in Houston, Texas. Didn't go to art school, didn't know nothing about art school, and I was in a show with three other women that had their MFAs in photography, and I did not know what that was about. But when the curator came over to look at my work, he thought I was the guy who had some cute little fashion stuff. I showed portraits of these black males that were, I photographed actually Scarface from Rap-A-Lot Records, and that was my first kickoff, and that's how I actually started in the art world, but didn't realize that's what I would be doing. You know, I immediately left Houston. Everybody was like, you don't need to leave Houston. I left. Okay. went up to Santa Fe, New Mexico, and he's my husband now, but then boyfriend, we were heading to California, but then my aunt passed and we came to Atlanta, and that opened up a whole different world for me because I never lived in the South. And my father told me, he said, there's something about this photography you like. So he put me through school to get my MFA. And that really helped me to understand how the black body has been looked on and how it was criticized. So that's how I got into the art world. It was through the rap, from school to the rap. And then my father had me go to school and get my MFA.
You mentioned hip-hop, and hip-hop has provided a soundtrack for several generations now of what we're dealing with in society. What are some of the things that you listen to as you're working, or is there any particular something that you listen to or that inspires your work?
Well, actually, when I was doing 1960 Now, I feel the pulse of the young people, and Kendrick Lamar was like the theme song, We're Gonna Be All Right, on the ground. And I know in the civil rights movement, music was very important to the movement. And so Kendrick Lamar was one of the key rappers that actually I was looking at. I mean, was listening to a lot of when I was photographing, actually.
Okay. Again, we want to thank Sheila Pree Bright for joining us on Hard Knock Radio today. F213 is the name of the exhibit. The F213, Fahrenheit 213. Sheila, tell us a bit about that title, the exhibit title.
When I think about that title, I think about how people, period, and especially women with the Me Too movement, sick and tired of being sick and tired. And they're amplifying up with that. It's like, we're not going to take it anymore. But when it comes to women of color, we've always been like that, to be honest with you. And so I think it would be, I haven't seen the show, so I'm really excited about seeing it with the other women in the show.
And the F213, as I mentioned, is short for Fahrenheit 213, which is 1 degree above the boiling point of blood.
Right.
So right. You're reaching the point where you're about to boil over, right?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right about that. And
So I'm excited to see the show.
And we're excited to see you here. Again, May 2nd, Sheila will be here in town for the exhibit F213. Sheila will be speaking about her short film and the book 1960 Now. And for folks who want to know more about this or keep up with what's going on with you, how can they do so?
They can follow me on my Instagram, and I have two, one for the book tour. I have a book tour, and it's called 1960 Now. And then my main Instagram feed is She, S-H-E, She Pretty Bright, S-H-E-P-R-E-E-B-R-I-G-H-T.
Thanks again for sharing time with us here on Hard Knock Radio. This is Greg Bridges. We'll be right back.
My life I has to fight. All's my life I hard times like yeah, bad trips like yeah. Nazareth, I'm f***ed up, homie, you f***ed up. But if God got us, then we gon' be alright. And when I wake up, I recognize you looking at me for the pay cut. Bahamas, I be looking at you from the face down. One Mac 11 even boom with the bass down. Skimming, and let me tell you about my life. Painkillers only put me in the twilight. We're pretty Benjamin is the highlight. I tell my mama I love her, but this what I like. Lord knows, 20 of them in my Chevy. Tell them all to come and get me, reaping everything I sow. So my karma come in heaven, no preliminary hearings on my record. I'm a gangsta in silence for the record. Tell the world I know it's too late. Boys and girls, I think I've gone crazy. Trying to sign my vices all day. Won't you please believe when I say, when you know we've been hurt, been down before. When our pride was low, looking at the world like, where do we go? And we hate po-po when they kill us dead.
And again, you're tuned to Hard Knock here on the Pacifica Network. Up next on the program, we'll hear Alice Walker and Angela Davis speaking at Mumia Abu-Jamal's book release. This is the second release of a three-part trilogy of Murder Incorporated, an examination of empire and U.S. imperialism. So with that said, first, we'll hear Alice Walker, followed by Angela Davis. Stay tuned.
I went to see Mumia a long time ago. I was sitting there trying to remember what decade it was, what prison it was, because I went to two different prisons. He was moved from one to a second one. But what I remember really clearly...
Huntington.
What?
Huntington.
Wasn't there one with Green in there somewhere? Green?
You went to
yes.
Green.
Green something. I went to two. Anyway, what I remember and what was worth remembering really was him. Gorgeous. Really. And, you know, they make prisoners come through these doors. I guess there are a lot of them. And they strip search people, even though they know that there's nothing back there in the prison that they would have been able to bring out into where they can talk to you. But they've done that to him. And they make them really try to hold up their clothing, you know. You've seen this probably on television. But I had never seen this. So here comes this gorgeous man, you know, with his chains and holding, seeming to hold his clothing. And I was prepared to be really distressed and upset, and I had felt all of these things because actually they had already taken away my bra because it had metal in it. I mean, really, like, what would you do with a bra? To get someone out of prison. Anyway, there I was. And what was so amazing was a really important call back there, eh? Helsinki? Anyway, but what was so remarkable was that I think I was more depressed than he was. I mean, or he was trying really beautifully to keep my spirits from sinking through the floor. I am the kind of person who feels you from thousands of miles away, you know. But just to be sure, I will get on my bicycle and I will go 10,000 miles to see your face, because I really, really want to experience a wonder, basically. That's what I've decided after all these years, that my feeling of enjoyment of beauty is what I treasure deeply. So I went, and there he was, and he was this brother. You know, he was this brother of our dreams, really. Kind, even in his condition, you know, bringing forth all of the grace, all of the generosity. You know, all of that goodness that we hope so much to find in people after we've traveled so far and had so many hopes that this person will be who he is. This person will be who she is. So there we were, looking through, you know, all these panes of plastic or glass or whatever they are, as if he could get out. I mean, the prison system, really, we have to get rid of the prisons. And the person who has the best thinking on this, about how we do that, is sitting here, Angela. This woman has burned much midnight oil trying to figure out how to demolish the prison system. It is so rancid. It is so rotten. It is so, you know, we don't deserve that. We don't. I don't care what we've done. We don't deserve what they've set up to punish us. We do not. And it's stupid. It never enlightens us. It never makes us better people. I mean, if you want to really help someone, transform them. Help them transform into something else. You know, don't make them suffer in this way that our system or their system is set up. Anyway, so since that time of meeting Mumia, I have been, you know, very supportive of his writing, of his thinking, of, you know, trying to support him in any way that I can, and being always so amazed by the support of Pan Africa and the Africa family. I had been out of the country when the Moo house was bombed, and I remember standing on a street wherever I was, you know, in this country, wherever it is, not being able to fully comprehend how in our country they could just bomb a neighborhood with people in it, with children in it, and somehow, you know, act like they could justify it.
Exactly.
Can you imagine? I mean, we don't have to imagine it. This is how we live. They do these horrible things, and then they act as if they're fine, you know. It's like killing all these children in Yemen, you know, and somehow, you know, it's a terrible thing. If one person here does something bad, we focus on that, but not on the fact that you've just killed, what is it, 28,000 children? So I am delighted to be able to speak about this person who I hope will be out among us very soon. And now I keep thinking about what it is that I would like to see him do first thing, you know, walking along somewhere. Would it be watching the sunset, you know, across a pond? Would it be talking to children under a tree? Would it be cuddling with someone that he loves? Would it be, what would it be? What would that be like after all these years? And then the other thing that has really intrigued me is how there are certain people in the world that no matter what is said about them, what awful thing is said about them, you just know it doesn't apply. And that is one of the things about Mumia. You know, not many people in this room have even seen him. And yet we feel so strongly that this is a decent person, that this is a good person, that this is someone that we need, you know. We need him. You know, we have to have some people in this world who are willing to be the example of what we can be. And Mumia is one of those people. You know, there he is. Now just think about all of the newscasts that he puts out there that most of us have heard. I mean, you know, there's a saying, work is love made manifest. The man loves us. I mean, he would not be doing all that he does if he didn't love us. And how good this is for us. We need to be loved. You know, we need to have people like Mumia. I mean, you know, it's not that he works a lot. And sometimes you can think of people working a lot. You think, oh, he's in prison, or what else is he going to do? Or he's a workaholic, or this or that. The other thing you say about people who do stuff. But basically, when you work night and day, you know, in ill health, good health, whatever health, you're working. Basically, your fuel has to be love. It has to be. And that is why we feel, you know, people in this room, we haven't given up. We'll never give up. You know, I was thinking that, you know, why am I always with these people? With such odd memories. But it's because that is just how it is. I mean, you end up, you know, I'm now old enough to see kind of how you end up. But you end up with the people who belong with you. And it's such a beautiful thing to finally see that you struggling, you know, when you're 20s, God knows, I wouldn't go back there. Your 30s, your 40s, you're trying, you're working, you're doing your best, you know, you're struggling, you're trying to understand, you know, what is this about? It's so hard sometimes. And people, goodness knows, I mean, all of us in here, I mean, we've had it, all of us, right? People, there's always something wrong with us. But we keep going, you know, we keep going. And in a couple of days after somebody slapped us down, we get up and we're actually cheerful. You know, as if to say, you know, take that. You know, I'm going to dance. Screw you. So that is a great comfort to know that this man that we love so much, you know, while we're here, he loves us back. He loves us. And that is so incredible. You know, he's in there, you know, being mistreated. He's writing these books. And he's so bold. Don't you love that about Mumia? I mean, he's just so friggin' bold. You know, they run their little lying newscasts out there for everybody to be completely confused by. And then Mumia will, sitting there in his cell, look right through all of it and send us out the real truth about whatever's happening. And I always wonder about that. I think, well, don't these prison wardens or guards or whoever they are, don't they ever read anything? But apparently not. So I am just quietly delighted to be here with all of you. Because, you know, we're loved by someone really marvelous and great. And that keeps us going in our lives. It's a great gift. And the other thing that we remember is that actually in every generation, or sometimes just every 100 years, life gives us this. And think about that. What a wonderful, rare, amazing thing that is. That we're not forgotten. We're not alone. We have someone who is going to show us, really, what it can mean to be a human being on this planet with a loving heart and a great soul.
Good evening. You are listening to KBOO, and it's our spring membership drive. KBOO is funded by you, our listeners, and we are asking you to go to the phone right now and dial 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm and become a member. I'm Kasiani, and I'm a volunteer here at KBOO. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are halfway to what we need to make for our goal. So it's up to you, you, our listeners. Give us a call, 877-500-5266. You know, we know that you turn to us to help you navigate through this complex world. You feel empowered with the information that KBOO provides you. And your support makes that happen. Radio should be used to discover issues and empower people. KBOO does both, all day, every day. And you're an important part of our ability to do so. Become a KBOO member today and contribute to an ever-evolving tool of understanding. Please give us a call, 877-500-5266. Joining me is Yorick.
Hello. Yeah, I like that you Freudian slipped empire with empower.
That's excellent.
Isn't that?
See? I meant to do that.
Yes. It's like, and that means a lot to me. I'm into wordplay, so that does mean a lot to me.
Yeah.
This is KBOO. This is community radio. We have 15 more minutes to make our goal for this program. If you like programming like this, like we were just listening, she said, righteous human beings get, you know, teacher class, righteous human beings. This is the righteous path. This is real community activist, citizen-powered radio. This is your radio, 877-500-5266. And I just got a little gift thing here. Here's an incentive for you. As if smashing fascism, restoring humanity, becoming part of the KBOO community, and supporting great radio wasn't enough for you, for $5 a month, we have a great KBOO Fight the Fascist Power Pack. That's
excellent.
Right. Exclusive content includes 40 hours of KBOO podcasts and programming specials with a focus on fighting the fascist takeover. And I think there's an FS drive, right? One of those little things?
Yeah.
So we got a security toolkit in there and audio from KBOO's archives. Chris Hedges talking America the Farewell Tour. Van Jones's live speech. Ralph Nader, Cornel West addressing the Unitarian Universalist Convention in Portland. We have all of this recorded. We got all kinds of great stuff. W.E.B. Du Bois from 1964. Dick Gregory, the comedian turned activist, who wrote a great book, 1967. Stokely Carmichael, Eldridge Cleaver, John Trudell, the Native American activist and musician-songwriter. Give us a call for $5 a month. That's $60 a year. You will have this great one-of-a-kind KBOO audio archive that fits in your pocket that you can listen to anytime, that has security in it, plus you're supporting KBOO. Give us a call, 877-500-5266, or go online, KBOO FM, click on the donate link, but call us now. Get this KBOO exclusive Fight the Fascist Power Pack.
Yes, your membership empowers us to empower others.
Not empire them. We're empowering them, not empowering them. I love that. That was just a great Freudian slip. So yeah, give us a call.
I'm glad you appreciated it.
Miles is in there. Miles is 17 years old. He's in there doing a great job. He's working his butt off as a volunteer
and doing
a great job. And this is part of what KBOO does. We have a whole youth collective.
Absolutely.
We train the next generation of volunteers and citizen journalists.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I mean, I'm getting older. I've been doing this a long time, but we need young blood in here. And that's what KBOO does. We have a great youth community here. They come here, the Rose City Native Program, all youth collective volunteers who do their own
the
shows
now.
The classes
that we offer are amazing.
You walk in here, you become a volunteer, absolutely. And we give you a class on how to board op, how to do whatever yes. you want, how to put together your own news show, how to do podcasts. That's a big thing now people are doing. So this is real, live, ongoing community radio. We're in our 51st year. This is the real reason that radio, this is what Marconi and what the radio people, pioneers, meant when they meant radio. Give us a call, 877-500-5266.
Yes, that's 877-500-5266. You can also donate online, kboo.fm/give.
Keep this great programming going.
We know the law says that we're all equal, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we are the only ones who can act. We're the only ones who can demand equality. We're the only ones who can demand justice, who can demand an end to the contemporary afterlives of slavery. We're the only ones who can say, abolish the prison industrial complex. The law will not do that for us. So there is this unprecedented opening in Mumia's case. And we need to revive and re-energize the struggle for his freedom. This is the time to do everything within our power to guarantee that we can take advantage of this opening and that we can indeed bring Mumia home. We need to do this for Mumia, but we also know, and this has been emphasized throughout the evening, that Mumia never speaks only for himself, never. He always speaks out on behalf of others, on behalf of other death row prisoners, on behalf of other prisoners who have Hep C, on behalf of other prisoners more broadly, on behalf of other black people, on behalf of other targets of repression. So when we speak out for Mumia, we also speak for Rochelle McGee, who was my co-defendant, who has been in prison for 55 years. When we speak out for Mumia, we also speak for Lynette Peltier, who has been behind bars for 43 years. And you know, as much as we are missing Obama today, given the current occupant of the White House, I don't think I will ever forgive Obama for not granting clemency to Leonard before he left office. He could have freed Leonard Peltier. And when we speak out for Mumia, we speak for Assata Shakur. Assata should be able to come home. We know that since the creation of Black Lives, the Black Lives Matter Network and the movement founded by Patrice Cullors, Alicia Garza, and Opal Tometi, people have been chanting this quote from a letter that Assata wrote. It is our duty to fight for our freedom. It is our duty to win. We must love each other and support each other. We have nothing to lose but our chains. You've heard it, right?
That's right.
Those words reverberate through all of our movements. Well, I mention this because it was chanted a few days ago in a gathering, a Democratic gathering of 2020 hopefuls. Well, it sparked a great deal of protest by police and their supporters. I mean, I think it's a good thing that our struggles are seeping into official political circles. And as a matter of fact, JetBlue had a poster of Asata that was a part of an exhibition at the terminal in JFK. On the poster were these words: became the first woman to be placed on the FBI's 10 most wanted list after escaping to Cuba from prison, where she was serving a life sentence for the 1973 murder of a police officer. Well, anyway, the poster also read, many people believe Shakur to be a political champion who is innocent of the criminal accusations against her. Now, JetBlue had no idea. They had a bunch of posters of Women's History Month or something like that. But then, of course, they apologized when us. But I think it's great that this kind of thing is happening, that the work we do is bleeding into the mainstream. And I think about all of these people and many others when I think of Mumia, because Mumia has always insisted that when we think of him, we think of others. He has enlightened us in so many different areas about racism, about empire, about incarceration, about Palestine. As a matter of fact, Mumia spoke out about Palestine before many people had the courage to publicly ally themselves with justice for Palestine. As a matter of fact, in 2013, he said, welcome to the Israeli occupation, blessed by the U.S. government as its imperial outpost, where the lives of Palestinians are broken into thousands of pieces daily, where everything from olive trees to water sources, everything but the sun itself is locked up, barred, caged from the people of Palestine. Mumia understands connections. He understands that to fight against racism is also to fight against heteropatriarchy, is also to fight against anti-Semitism. He understands the centrality of Islamophobia. And I could go on and on and on. And of course, now he's produced a new book, which I can't wait to leave. I understand there may be copies here.
Yes.
The second volume of his Murder Incorporated. Mumia deserves to be free. And we have the opportunity to bring him home. He is known all over the world. He's perhaps the best known prisoner in the entire world. You know, everywhere I go, people know about Mumia. I was just last week in Uruguay, and people were talking about his case. When we free Mumia, we provide a major impetus for the freedom of other political prisoners, of political prisoners in Palestine, in the Basque country, Kurdish political prisoners like Abdullah Öcalan. So Mumia's birthday is coming up. Each April 24th, we reflect especially on our obligation to free Mumia. And I understand on this April 24th, there will be events all over the country. There will be teach-ins, there will be rallies, there will be student walkouts. And so let us use this opportunity to amplify his story. Let us spread his story. Let us bring new people into the campaign. Let's bring the younger generation into this campaign, because Mumia speaks for them as well. Let us bring vast numbers of people into the campaign to free Mumia Abu Jamal. Thank you.
Ha, hey, hey, ho, 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 hard knock radio, east, west, north, south, conectados, every set, every hood, barrio to barrio, y'all stand up, stay righteous, speaking to the thugs, one love, we know where y'all at, top, Brown Buffalo. It's a hard knock life, gotta pay your bills. They want a song about bling, but it ain't real. We speak to the kids and the OGs. Organize, mobilize, be the change you wanna see. 415s bumping hard knock radio. Brown Buffalo, rah, all up in your stereo. And to the youth, live life like it's golden. Go dumb, go hard, but don't forget where you're going. We from the hood, so it's all to the good. Let us know this, what you're feeling is right. Let's get this understood. It's only one reason why we here today. We trying to make real music so the people can relate.
Learning from these hard knocks, slipping in these hard knocks, listening to hard knocks, questioning the hard knocks. Learning through these hard knocks, living for this hip hop, listening to hard knocks, ripping to the hard side. Learning from the hard knocks, living in these hard knocks, listening to hard knocks, questioning the hard knocks. Learning through these hard knocks, living for this hip hop, listening to hard knocks, ripping to the hard side.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Bare Bones, located at 2900 Southeast Belmont Street, serving traditional American breakfast and lunch with the view of a gallery of local artists rotating monthly, open early morning to late night. Lunch was provided by Daily Cafe, located in the Pearl at 902 Northwest 13th Avenue. With local ingredients, Daily Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and wine spirits. Open 7 days a week from early morning to late lunch. Dinner was provided by Nel Centro, located in the Theater and Arts District at 1408 Southwest 6th Avenue. Nel Centro serves food from the French and Italian Riviera with a spacious year-round patio and private dining and meeting rooms. More information is available at nelcentro.com. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm/give right now.
KBOO proudly co-sponsors the Portland Folk Music Society concert series, this month featuring soul, rhythm and blues, and folk singer Chris Webster. Webster draws from many genres, sometimes backing her songs on uke or even washboard.